Father, thank you for your word, for your truth, for the chance to spend time together in it, for the way your Spirit speaks uniquely to us, individually, to our challenges, to our hurts, to our needs. Lord, we praise you that you have the power to redeem. We praise you that you can take what is broken and mend it. You can take what is sad and turn it into a place of joy. You alone can do that. And so we ask that you would help us to just draw near. Just be with you. Just be in your presence. To take your truth in, yes, but to take you in most of all. Our beautiful Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. So do you know who Kermit and Miss Piggy and Gonzo are? They're very important. They're very important. We need them. Kermit and Miss Piggy and Gonzo are actually the nicknames of the specially equipped aircraft that the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration have to fly through storms and above them to gain a unique perspective. Kermit and Miss Piggy and Gonzo are filled with crews of about 10 people each, and we need people who can go through storms and come out the other side, who can rise above them and give us their unique perspective. And that is also what our scripture is about today. Storms come. This we know. They come with howling wind and heartless deluge that brings the world crashing down and the strongest to their knees. They come with death and sadness and destruction and deprivation and disease. They come with such ferocity that all you can do is get out of the way and do your best to put things back together afterwards. But sometimes you can't. Sometimes you can't get out of the way, and you must go through them, come what may. And trust that God in his love and mercy will bring you out the other side. But let's be honest, because God's word is honest. Sometimes God can seem so far away when storms come. Think of what Jeremiah lamented. You have surrounded yourself with a cloud so that no prayer can get through. And Job said, I cry out to you, O God, but you do not answer. I stand before you, but you don't even look. You throw me into the whirlwind and destroy me in the storm. So I looked for good, but evil came instead. I waited for light, but darkness fell. My heart is troubled and restless. Days of suffering torment me. I walk in gloom without sunlight. The word of God is so painstakingly honest. Our world is broken, and things happen that we can spend a lifetime trying to make sense of and never figure out. But it also tells us that our very way of making sense of things is broken. That the human heart and mind are desperately amiss. I remember what Simone Weil thought about this. She was a brilliant French philosopher, a sincere Christian who suffered from rheumatoid arthritis that would eventually take her life. She also lived through the destruction of her homeland in the Second World War, and she noted that what trips us up, please listen carefully, when when we try to make sense of things, is our tendency to place ourselves at the center of the universe, to measure everything that happens to us personally, as the means by which we can determine whether God is good or whether he loves us. Let me repeat that because it is important. What trips us up when we try to make sense of things is our tendency to place ourselves at the center of the universe, to measure everything that happens to us personally as the means whereby we can discern whether God is good and whether he loves us. Oh, he is good. And he does love us, and his love is personal. But we are not the measure of all things. And that's hard to understand that in the culture that we live in, right? So what do we do when storms come? When we can't get out of their way? We prepare as best we can. We know this too, right? Did you go to the market this past week? Did you see people just on the verge of panic as they grabbed that last loaf of bread? Did you stand in line at the gas station? Man, did you see the lines at Costco? Did you try to clear gutters as I did and survey what trees or limbs may fall? Preparation matters. It's absolutely vital. And that is what brings us to our scripture, breathed by the Spirit of God into David in Psalm 55. Here it is. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I'm distraught because of what my enemy is saying, because of the threats of the wicked, for they bring down suffering on me and assail me in their anger. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter far from the tempest and storm. Now, we don't know for certain the circumstances of David's life at the time this psalm was written. It's interesting that the psalms immediately before it and immediately after are psalms about hard times. They all describe storms, something that David could not get through on his own. He had to walk through it with God. In this instance, some believe that it was actually the rebellion of his son Absalom, a time when his own son was trying to kill him. Just look at how he begins. He cries out to God not to ignore him. And his thoughts trouble him. He's distraught. He's in anguish. And now let's read verse 4 and following. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm. You know, the verses that we've looked at this morning, from David, from Jeremiah, from Job, they all have something in common. Each of these are cries from the heart, from people who are in crisis and storm, but they all do the same thing. Each of them shows us the importance of storm preparation. Each of them has the assumption behind their words that God can and will help them in the storm, even though he seems far away. Each of these men have found God to be faithful in the past, and they know his character, and so they trust him and run to him and give him everything, including every doubt, every fear, every worry. The only way they could do that and come out on the other side is because they had each established patterns of walking with God in their personal past. They were ready. You know, sometimes we can talk about spending time with God in his word, spending time with him in prayer so routinely, as if it were this almost blasé kind of thing. And what this shows us is that these moments, which sometimes can be mundane, ever read through Chronicles? Actually, Chronicles really isn't that bad. It's Numbers that, well, never mind. But the point is, it's in those mundane moments where we're just doing the disciplined thing of going to God and spending time in his word and praying and communicating with him every day, every boring routine day. It's those moments that give us roots when the winds come. David wrote about this: blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. This is the life that Scripture points us to again and again in the Word of God. A life built on His truth, a life humbled before Him, where God is the measure of all things. He is our strength and protection in every season, even when the winds blow. We have our roots in Him, and we draw our health and nourishment from Him. Let's use another analogy. Look at David's words in Psalm 55. I said, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove, I would fly away and be at rest." You know, the Holy Spirit who inspired these words is often as depicted as a dove in Scripture. And when we meditate on God's word and take it to heart, we can remember that his Spirit speaks uniquely through his word, unlike any other place. And he meets us there and applies his word directly to us. Whatever our need may be, we may not even know it in the moment, but going and being with him, oh, it matters that much. He lifts us above our circumstances, and when they don't change, he gives us a change of heart so that we can rest in him. You see this in Jesus' life. Every time that he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, what did he do? He quoted Scripture, right? He went to God's word as a response. He lived each day. He defined his mission and purpose from God's word. He quoted it. He prayed it from the cross more than once. Up to his very last words before he died. And then after his resurrection, he assures us of God's faithfulness and love and promised us that he would always be with us. Jesus gives us this ultimate example of storm preparation. And again, you see him, even, you know, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We mentioned this morning in Sunday school, Jesus is quoting Psalm 22. You know, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He's quoting another psalm. Scripture just pours out of him because he's anchored there. And the beautiful thing is that the Spirit of God will help you and me for our particular storms, whatever they may be. It has been said that Scripture has one correct interpretation, you know, given its historical context and the application, or and the context of the situation, but several applications. One correct interpretation, but several applications. And what that means is that as you and I are in God's Word every day, He will apply it to us directly. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, building the habit of just being there with Him, looking into His Word each day, and then writing that verse down, and then meditating on that verse through you go, there'll be something. There's almost always something. And if there isn't, you already know verses, if you've walked with Him for a while, that you can then simply say, this is going to be my last thought before I go to bed tonight. Before I close my eyes and after I close my eyes, this is going to be my last thought. For me the other day, it was, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. And then last night we saw a movie where I felt like I needed to take a soul bath afterwards. And my prayer was, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. The Word of God meets us in our need. Your time with Him daily, in prayer, in His Word, matters every moment. That is your storm preparation. It is then that He builds you up and equips you for the times when He will seem far away. And it is then that you will recall that He has promised that He will be faithful. And you will hold on to that promise of His Word. And that brings us to the way that Psalm 55 wraps up. It ends with these words, but as for me, I trust in you. That's a great personal prayer. He's looking around him. He's not seeing others trusting God, but as for me, I trust in you. And then in the verse right before it, you see these words, cast your cares on the Lord. And He will sustain you. Does that sound familiar? It's because Peter quotes it later as well. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. All your anxiety, every worry, every fear, even the fear that God is not there. He is that good that you and I can take it and say, here it is. And there's something about that. There is something about doing that. Just that dead level honesty with Him, where He will meet us if we go there. The problem is, usually we're too busy to go there. Am I right? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you anchored for the storms that come? Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but those whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. As we conclude today, we're going to spend some time in prayer. We'll spend some time praying about the storm. My watch says 11:52. We are not too busy. Maybe there's a verse or a promise from the Word of God that we can bring out. There are people who need us to pray, who need us to love them with our prayers.